This is a podcast of the City of Fairbanks City Council meeting. Stand by for the call to order, or else we'll be joining the meeting already in progress.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the regularly scheduled City Council meeting of the third day of December. Happy holidays. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Nice to see everybody here tonight. I'm going to have the city clerk read into the minutes our mission statement for the city, and then continue on with roll, then the pledge, and our invocation. Thank you, clerk.
It is the mission of the City of Fairbanks to provide quality essential services to all city residents to ensure Fairbanks is a vibrant place to live, work, thrive, and visit. I'll call the roll. Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Mr. Pruse?
Here.
Ms. Rogers?
Here.
Ms. Kuhn?
Present.
Ms. Otterston?
Here.
Ms. Sarian?
Here.
Mayor Matherly?
Here. Please rise for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
This time of year brings much excitement, anticipation, and fellowship. Help us to pause and to be grateful for the community we live in and to continually strive to make Fairbanks a better city. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, clerk.
Does the mayor have ceremonial matters this evening?
None tonight, thank you.
Then we are at item 5, citizens' comments, oral communications to the city council on any item not up for public hearing. Testimony is limited to 3 minutes, and the comment period will end no later than 7:30 p.m. Any person wishing to speak needs to complete the register located in the hallway. Normal standards of decorum and courtesy should be observed by all speakers. Remarks should be directed to the City Council as a body rather than to any particular council member or member of the staff. In consideration of others, please silence all cell phones and electronic devices.
Thank you, Clerk. Okay, I'm going to have two at a time come up to the table. Mike, if we could put another chair for making it more efficient. This is the opportunity for the public to come on speak on any item not up for public hearing tonight. So anything that's an asterisk item you can see on the council agenda for tonight. No. Oh, that's not asterisk.
No.
I said it wrong again. This is just general public hearings for tonight.
Or asterisk items.
Or the asterisk items. Okay. Thank you, clerk, for the clarification. Every single item under new business is asterisked, of course, as you can see in a couple of the written communications. So now's the time to come forward. I'm going to take it in order. And we'll have Reverend Leslie Fales first, and then Alyssa will come up and be sitting next. And we'll just have the mic move back and forth for efficiency's sake. And I'll ask the next person to join us after that. Thank you, and welcome, Leslie, and welcome to Council.
Thank you. Thank you, Council and Mayor Matherly. I'm the Reverend Leslie Uva Fales, and my address is on file with the clerk. I am the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Fairbanks, and I speak tonight as a representative of that church, but also as a private citizen and person of faith. Our church is proud to serve many people whose lives would be profoundly impacted by the passage of an equal rights ordinance in the Golden Heart City. As you are aware, I know currently queer, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and trans people in Fairbanks live in fear that they could lose their shelter and livelihoods at any time because of discrimination, from which they have no legal protections here. Our faith teaches us that all people possess inherent worth and dignity, and thus are imbued with the natural right to live lives free from discrimination and harassment, and I applaud the Council for this effort to bring our city into right relationship with all of its citizens. And on a side note, as a mother, I anticipate the acceptance of Ordinance 6093 in the hopes that my own daughter will one day be able to live a fulfilling life in this community that I love, no matter where she happens to emerge on the spectrum of gender and sexual identity as she grows up. I offer my gratitude to you for all of your efforts to protect the right of all Fairbanksans to life and liberty and pursuit of happiness. May it be so. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Fales. All right, I'm going to bring up George Salmon to sit in the second chair. And Alyssa, you're up. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Alyssa Quinton. I'm a city resident here in Fairbanks, and my address is on file. And I just wanted to echo Leslie's comments as well. I'm here in support of the Equal Rights Ordinance. And I you know, I also just want to thank you all for championing this effort. You know, I think it's a wonderful opportunity that we as a city can take that initiative to protect our citizens and our residents where our state has failed. My sort of, you know, plug into this is that I was doing a lot of work on House Bill 194, and that has been in the legislature for God knows how long, probably 10 years. And, you know, different cities across the state have just said, we're tired of waiting. Like, we can't wait anymore. We're losing too many lives. We're losing too many children. We're losing too many resources. We have to do something. And so to think that we here in the interior have that opportunity is really heartwarming for me. You know, on a personal level, I'm really tired of seeing my friends, having to live in fear and seeing that hopelessness and, you know, having different public agencies and services that they're supposed to rely on that they can't. And, you know, to have that protection for them, to finally have a way that, you know, we can advocate for them and make sure that they're protected, is extremely important to me as an ally, as a person who, you know, looks up to this community and works with this community. And so I'm just ecstatic that you guys are going to have an opportunity to do this and that, you know, another part of our community is finally going to be protected, and that we as Fairbanks are going to take initiative, and maybe hopefully that will kick the legislature in gear of saying, oh, we should probably just do this. So I'm ecstatic for it, and I'm happy of what this is going to do with our community and people who are maybe not aware of how desperate of a need this is, that this is going to bring awareness, that our children are going to have, that are going to grow up in a community where this is the norm and they can have that protection right from the get-go. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that we are finally going to be able to hold those public agencies that do discriminate accountable for their actions, and that we will have legal action for that as well. So this is just a wonderful opportunity, and I'm happy that you guys are doing this. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Quinton. We appreciate it. All right, if we could please bring up Frank Turney to take the other chair next to Mr. Salmon, I'd appreciate it. George, welcome to council. It's good to see you.
Good to see you all, too. George Salmon. I'm not a city resident, though. I have lived in the city in the past. I'm a borough resident this time. I've been up in Alaska since 76, and one of the reasons I came up here, besides the country and geography friends of mine have told me about, was how people accepted each other, no matter what your lifestyle or your beliefs were. And I wanted to say I support 6093, and I'm sticking the ordinance we're talking about. And probably as a people, if we send the message out that everybody should be treated equal, no matter what their sexual preference, their sexual identity, ethnicity, gender, whatever, I think that's a good thing to start happening, especially when you start looking at young kids. Some of the stuff they have to go through when they are a little bit different, because I was a little bit different in high school, probably not as different as some people, but I know what that feeling is like. So as a people, I think this is a good approach to take. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sam. It's good to see you, sir. Well, if I could bring up Hayden Neville. Hayden, you're welcome to come up and sit in this other chair. Good to see you. And Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, Frank Turney, 1434 Lacey, Street B. First of all, Mayor, I'd like to suggest that we make a mistake in the public airways, and I know we all have in the past. I have also. It'd be nice to correct that. I'm referring to when you told Brian Crispy that you sat down with his son, and then you got up later and said, no, that was Trill that did that. Mm-hmm. You know, it would have been nice to come back on the airways and clarify that. I think that's why he was really upset, because he texted his son real fast, and he said, well, I never met the mayor. Anyway, I just wanted to clarify that. I'm not being nasty. Birthdays today. Victor Bluebird, his birthday today, and Lloyd Hillings. I wish him a happy birthday. I said, well, what about the potholes, Victory said, well, the snow will take care of that. So, anyway, talking about birthdays, an anniversary, December 15th is Bill of Rights Day, and hopefully we can have one here in Fairbanks on December 10th. And hopefully, if Dana helps me, we can get a hold of Post 92. I'm having trouble getting a hold of those. It'd be very helpful. I know that she could probably be more persuasive than I am. But also, the Borough Assembly, just giving you a heads up, on December 13th, they're going to recognize the Borough of Rice. They're going to introduce a resolution recognizing. And today, I went to the governor's office, and I wanted to give be the first personal message for a proclamation for our new governor, Mike Dunleavy. So I made it. I had to wait until 12 o'clock. Then he was official governor at the office here. So hopefully I can get a proclamation him recognizing December 15th, the 1791 ratification of our Bill of Rights. So I'm looking forward to that. And also I want to thank Jeff Jacobson here giving this nice Bill of Rights 200th anniversary. Evidently this was in Philadelphia on this was on September 1989, first day of the issue of this. I sure appreciate that. Anyway, there's another thing I wanted to cover here. I wish there was more time. I support this ordinance regarding amending discrimination on race, color, religion, and sexual. And that I would like to see this expanded also to the borough, not just to Fairbanks. I mean, all the way. I hope that they can introduce a resolution before the borough. One thing about it, you know, I brought this issue up many times about race discrimination in the jury pool, and I think it's factual in Alaska. I remember that you can't discriminate against blacks and natives here, but also over the years, the Supreme Court has added gender. So I just let you know that that they can't discriminate somebody because of their gender to serve on a jury. So I just want to put that out. I do support this, Austin and Cruz introduced this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Turney.
Anyway, one other thing. I tell you what, this year's politics is kind of like the weather. It's unpredictable. Thank you.
It's always unpredictable. Thank you very much, Frank. If we could bring Casey, K-Sort, up to take the seat next to Hayden. Hayden, good to see you, and welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here. My name is Hayden Neville. My address is on file. Council members, Mayor, thank you for your service to our community. We appreciate that. I have lived in the Fairbanks area for 13 of the past 20 years. I'm a veterinarian. I'm a transgender man, so that means I was born a little girl, and I'm obviously a guy now. And I founded Gender Pioneers in 2012. That's our interiors group for transgender and gender nonconforming people. So I am here speaking to Ordinance 6093, speaking in favor of passing this non-discrimination ordinance, protecting LGBT folks. In the past 6 years, I've talked to a lot of transgender people. Our community overlaps with the lesbian, gay, and bisexual community as well, so I've talked to a lot of LGBT folks. And I've heard stories of people losing their jobs or being denied promotions because they're lesbian, gay, or trans. I've heard of people being denied job interviews once that became apparent. We have had folks who have been denied rental housing or have been denied renewing their leases. And also stories of people being bullied at work, including myself. I subsequently left a job after being bullied by somebody who hated me for being trans. So there are some bad stories. But honestly, in Fairbanks, that's not usually how it goes here. As George Salmon was saying, this tends to be a good place because in Fairbanks we have this live and let live attitude. You know, you do your thing, I'll do mine. If we're not bothering each other, it's fine. And we tolerate a lot of unusual here in Fairbanks, and we embrace unusual. As Kathy Otterston has said, something to the effect of, my folks are often not the weirdest people in town. And so passing this resolution is not going to make everyone love people like me. I'm not going to be universally loved just because you pass this resolution. On the other hand, it's not going to lead to a whole bunch of lawsuits. But what it is going to do is it's going to say we, as the elected leaders of Fairbanks, don't tolerate discrimination against any person, period. It doesn't matter why we don't tolerate it, but we don't. That's not what Fairbanks does. Fairbanks is a place that embraces everyone, and we can let people be their authentic selves here. And passing this ordinance makes that abundantly clear. And it also makes day-to-day lives of people like me easier, because once it's clear that we don't tolerate it, then the people who would do me harm are less likely to do me harm. So thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you, Hayden. We appreciate it. All right, let's bring Mashari Dunbar up to take the other chair. Casey, welcome to council. Nice to see you.
Thank you. My name is Casey Kasort, and I live at 870 Pickering Drive. Today I'm here representing Generation Action, Students for Reproductive Justice at UAF. Generation Action supports Ordinance 6093 because as young people and as students, we value a community that keeps us safe. And right now, the state of Alaska does not protect LGBTQ plus Alaskans, but Anchorage, Juneau, and Sitka have passed similar ordinances. So I'm a lifelong Fairbanksan, and I'm ready for Fairbanks to join the rest of Alaska on this. The other excellent part of Ordinance 6093 is making justice accessible to Fairbanksans, because once Fairbanks passes this ordinance, we create protection based on race, gender, sex, and ability, and Fairbanksans will be able to pursue legal recourse without traveling to Juneau. Generation Action envisions a community free from fear and from discrimination, and we see this as a necessary part of that. Thank you for supporting all of our residents with this ordinance, and I hope it passes with full support. Thank you.
Thank you, Casey. All right, Mashari is going to be next. Let's bring up Pearson Crosby to take the other chair. Mashari, welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you, Mayor Mathily. Good to see you as well, council members. My name is Mashari Dunbar, and my address is on the record. I don't actually want to spend a lot of time advocating for this ordinance because I'm fairly confident it's going to pass, especially with the people sitting on the council today and everyone who's in the room that's going to speak on its behalf. What I would like to do is propose a couple of amendments once this does pass. And the reason for that is while this ordinance does protect various members of the community, I think it still excludes a few people. That would be independent contractors. So I know we have the choice to do business with whomever we want to do business with, but once you enter into a contract with someone, they should be free and clear of the expectation of discrimination. So I think maybe we can find a way to add those people. I would also like to add participants within nonprofit organizations, regardless of exclusivity, if that person is a member of said nonprofit and the nonprofit is engaging in activities or conducting business within the city limits of Fairbanks. If you are participating in a nonprofit, you should also be free of the expectation of discrimination. And I think there's still some protection there that is lacking. And last, discrimination for people with disabilities. I do think the language is pretty on par with federal language of if you're an employer of 15 people or less, you can terminate a person with a disability. That person has no protection. But I think we should address that as well. Even though that is federal law, I think we can do better, especially in a town that is so prevalent with small businesses. And there's such a large disabled community here as well. So if you've been properly vetted, let's say, you know, if you're with a company for 3 to 5 years, you'll get to keep your retirement. If you're with a company for 3 to 5 years and it's a small business and you have a sudden disability that renders you incapacitated, you should not expect to lose your job after that point, especially if it's a temporary disability. So there's a lot that can be unpacked there and a lot more that can be said and figured out, but I think that's something that we really need to address, especially with the veteran population and everyone else here. So I fully support this ordinance, and like I said, I think it's going to pass, so I don't want to spend too much time there. But if you will consider these amendments in the future, I would appreciate it, and I think many members of our community would as well.
Thank you, Mashari. Send an email with your outline, if you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. All right, let's bring up Brene Baker to take the other chair next to Pearson. And Pearson, good to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I had no idea about this ordinance until about an hour ago. I was working on one of my vehicles and called Mosh, and this is where I find myself at 6:30 at night. But I have a baby boy on the way, and I hope that this isn't a issue when he's born. I know it's going to be still. He's due in April, but I wish that we didn't have to label everyone. I think we should just be able to take people who they are as they are and not judge. There's a lot of things in this world that push us towards judging. I am proud to say I live in Fairbanks. I loved where I grew up in Philadelphia. But Fairbanks is much more of a forward-thinking city, and that's what keeps me here. It's not because I like the cold or... But... I hope the rest of the world comes to terms with everybody is created equal, and as long as they ain't bothering you, it shouldn't bother you, you know. But I just had to throw my 2 cents in because I We're all people. And no one should be discriminated against by what they what they're attracted to, or who they're born to, or their color, or really, we're all people, and that's how we should be judged, by our performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Pearson. Okay, we'll bring the mic over to Brene. Lisa Sladen, please join us in the other chair. Thank you. And Brene, good to see you. Welcome.
Hi. So my name is Brene Baker. My address is on file with the clerk. I'm here to testify in support of Ordinance 6093, adding sexual orientation, gender expression, and gender identity to the protected classes of people in Fairbanks. Anchorage, Juneau, and Sitka have all already passed legislation protecting their LGBTQ community members from discrimination, and Fairbanksans deserve the same. I'd like to remind Mayor Matherly of the promise that he made to us in this room in October. Alaska experiences the highest rate of sexual violence in the nation, and according to the Centers for Disease Control, LGBTQ persons experience sexual violence at a rate far higher than heterosexual and cisgender persons. So part of fulfilling your promise to address sexual violence in Fairbanks includes actively building a safe and inclusive community for our LGBTQ neighbors. I expect the council to vote in favor of this ordinance and unequivocally state that all Fairbanksans, regardless of who they are, whom they love, deserve to be safe and welcome in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Brene. All right, we're going to bring up Hannah. Hannah Hill is going to take the other seat. And welcome, Lisa. Good to see you.
Thanks. Hi. My name is Lisa Slayton. My address is 2289 Cortez Way here in Fairbanks. I'm a former teacher with the district. I've played several other roles within Fairbanks, and I'm currently a member of the Diversity Council, the City Diversity Council. But I'm here speaking on behalf of myself tonight, and I'm speaking in favor of 6093. I think it's well past due that we do this. I would love to have a unanimous decision from the council, because we're all, Fairbanks is such a small place, and we are all neighbors. And you guys are my neighbors, and I am your neighbors. Your neighbor. Well, split personality there. But I just really think this is a no-brainer. You know, I've been speaking before councils and school boards since the early 90s on the same subject. And my gosh, folks, all I can say is, once again, we're neighbors. And we deserve, all neighbors, all people deserve the same rights. So appreciate you guys taking this up. Appreciate what you guys do for our town. And would just really appreciate a unanimous decision, because it would sure make a lot of people feel welcome.
Right. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We're going to bring the microphone over to Hannah. And Paul Michael Casey could take the chair next to Hannah. Oh, Paul had to leave? All right. So we'll just go on down the list. Ivan is next. He'll take the chair next to Hannah. And Hannah, welcome. Good to see you.
Hi, yeah. Thanks for having me here. My name is Hannah Hill, and my address is on record with the clerk. And not to take up too much of your space, because I think we've had 100% of the people speaking tonight in favor of 6093. And what I want to say is to thank you for this opportunity to be brought in front of the city council, to even have this heard in Fairbanks. For me, as a queer person who's lived in Fairbanks for most of my life, that feels exceptional. So I grew up in Fairbanks. I went to high school at West Valley. I was bullied by the football team at West Valley, which was a terrifying experience. I was told that I looked too butch to get certain jobs, especially front of house jobs, places where they want a prettier looking young lady to be working, despite my qualifications and competency. I'm not the most litigious person in the world. I'm not one that's like ready to sue at the drop of a hat. But to feel that the city values me as much as my heteronormative comrades in this room, that's so valuable to me as a citizen here. I've recently moved into the city limits, and I am thrilled beyond measure to be here. Yeah. Thanks for having me from the outlying areas.
Lots of room for you.
So, and this is my first city council meeting as someone living inside the city boundaries of Fairbanks. And it's just, it feels special to me because I lived through the time where Alaska changed its constitution to deny same-sex marriage rights. And I know how that felt. And I lived through discrimination and bullying in my own life and know how that felt. And it is the opposite end of the feeling spectrum to have this ordinance brought forward in proposition to the city council. And I do hope and anticipate that it will receive unanimous approval from the city council, because I think, as many people have said here tonight, we're all just humans trying to people it the best that we can in the city that we love, and we would love to feel that love back from our community. So thanks.
Thank you. So Hannah, now that you're in town and this is your first time at council, don't be a stranger. Come up and get a tour sometime.
Anybody in the room
needs a tour. This is a great old building. There's a lot of history in this building. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, Yvonne is going to be in the next chair, and then we're going to have Jana. I hope I said that right. Anytime I mispronounce a name, I apologize. If you'll two take the seats there, I'd appreciate it. So Yvonne, you're next on the list, sir.
I think I put my name in the wrong place.
You might have, sir.
Yes, but anyway, I support equal rights to everybody.
Yeah. Well, you'll have a chance to come up when we discuss your stuff later.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Yvonne. All right, ma'am, if you could bring the microphone up. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Now, welcome to council.
Hi, I'm Jana Pierce. My address is on file with the clerk, and I don't live in the city, but I work with both nonprofits and for-profit businesses that do business in Fairbanks. And so while I support all of the important reasons that everybody else has been speaking to about why this is the right thing for Fairbanks to do in joining Anchorage, Juneau, and Sitka in expanding its definition of equal or its coverage of equal rights, I just wanted to speak a moment about economic development, because I do get to work both in Fairbanks and other communities in the state on community and economic development issues. And one of the things that we know is that businesses that support anti-discrimination measures for LGBTQ people recognize that having a corporate culture that embraces diversity improves productivity and helps recruit the best talent. And I think the same is true for communities. So I just wanted to bring that forward. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for considering this.
Thank you, Jana. That is all the names that are on the list to speak. And normally we go all the way to 7:30 or earlier if there's no one else. So now's an opportunity for anybody that did not sign up and would like to come forward. Come on up. And if there's a second person, might as well take the second seat. And please give us your name and address for the record. And welcome.
My name is Rebecca Dunn, and my address is 3659 Jackhammer Road. And I actually emailed my testimony in today because I didn't think I would be able to make it here, but I am. So I'm pleased to be here. I live in the borough, not actually in the city, but I do own a small business within the city of Fairbanks. I am a lesbian, and I'm married to a transgender man. LGBT people have become more visible in Alaska and across the nation in recent decades. We've always been here, but we're less afraid to hide now. Because we're living more honest lives, we're also more open to discrimination in housing, in the workplace, and in public spaces. Several forward-thinking Alaska municipalities have already included sexual orientation and gender identity or expression in their equal protection ordinances. And I'm sure you've already heard a lot about that already, so I'll just skip this bit. In practical terms, those ordinances mean that young LGBT people who grow up in those cities are more likely to stay there. Older LGBT people looking for an Alaskan vacation are more likely to visit there. And LGBT entrepreneurs are more likely to start businesses there. And I just feel like Fairbanks should offer that same sort of opportunity for my community. Ordinance 6093 is about fairness and showing the world that Fairbanks welcomes everybody, and I urge you to support this important legislation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rebecca, and thanks for the email as well.
Sure.
All right, anybody else wishing to come forward and speak on any item? Not up for public hearing tonight. All right, seeing no more, citizens' comments are now closed. Thank you. Thank you for all the testimony, everybody. Clerk?
We are at item 6, the approval of agenda and consent agenda. Approval of consent agenda passes all routine items indicated by an asterisk. Consent agenda items are not considered separately unless a council member so requests. In the event of such a request, the item is returned to the general agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda, council.
So
by Ms. Otterston. Second by Mr. Pruse. Thank you. Anybody wishing to pull any items? Ms. Otterston?
I'd like to pull 6093.
Yep. So Ms. Otterston has pulled Ordinance 6093. Anybody else wishing to pull any items, Council? Any objection to the agenda as amended? All right, hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Thank you very much. Clerk?
May I just clarify, Mayor, that the clerk, myself, made an error on the agenda.
Okay.
Under special orders item B, the addresses of the to and the from are need to be flipped. So it's being transferred from 535 Second Avenue, Suite 106, to 523 Second Avenue. It's correct in the memo in the packet. I just wanted that clarified on the agenda, please.
Thank you, Clerk. We appreciate that.
Okay, then we are moving on to, I'm sorry, let me read the consent agenda. The consent agenda approved resolution number 4854, a resolution stating the City of Fairbanks legislative and capital priorities for 2019, introduced by Mayor Matherly. It approved resolution number 4855, a resolution amending the city schedule of fees and charges for services by increasing ambulance service rates, introduced by Councilmember Otterston. It advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6090, an ordinance ratifying a collective bargaining agreement between the City of Fairbanks and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 1547, introduced by Mayor Matherly. It advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6091, an ordinance amending the 2018 operating and capital budgets for the fourth time, introduced by Mayor Matherly. It advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6092, an ordinance adopting the 2019 operating and capital budgets, introduced by Mayor Matherly. It accepted the Hotel Motel Discretionary Fund Committee meeting minutes of August 24th, 2018, and it approved the appointment to the Board of Plumber Examiners. Now we're returning to the general agenda, item 8, special orders. The Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following liquor license application for transfer of location and controlling interest. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. This is a beverage dispensary, license number 4547, doing business as McCoy's Underground. The applicant is North Star Dining, LLC, located at 636 28th Avenue, Fairbanks, and it's being transferred from no DBA. Owner was North Star Dining, LLC, at no premises.
Motion to waive protest, Council.
So moved.
By Ms. Therrien, second.
Second.
By Ms. Kuhn, thank you. Anyone in the public wishing to come forward and speak to this liquor license transfer, now is an opportunity to do this. All right, seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. Thank you. Council, any discussion?
Sorry.
Ms. Kuhn?
I would like to defer to Chief Jukes if he's still here and see.
Chief, you want to come up? And
there's been any issues there?
We'll talk about this. You might as well stay for the second one, too. Got you in the middle of a bite, I see.
Sorry.
That's right. So we're talking about the liquor license transfer. This is regards to McCoy's Underground from North Star Dining. So Ms. Kuhn had questions about maybe calls there, I'm assuming, Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Well, right now it's not an operating business.
Right.
So or at least the liquor license is not operating. For those of you that may remember, there was a Los Amigos, and then you had Lower L.A. in the basement. And so I don't think that's been an operating liquor license for some time. I believe the restaurant may still be open but upstairs, but I'm not certain. There's another bar right basically side by side with it, Club Manchu, that has a tendency to be problematic, but the business itself is not in operation.
So would you anticipate any issues? I remember the Lower L.A.
Yeah.
Quite well.
You know, I might hear from the owner of Club Manchu, but my biggest reservation would be its proximity to that, which I don't believe is run very well.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Any other questions, Council, or discussion? Okay. Clerk?
On the motion to waive protest on liquor license transfer number 4547, Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
Ms. Otterston?
Yes.
Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Mr. Cleaver?
Yes.
All right. It's approved. Thank you, Council. Clerk?
Item B, under special orders, the Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following liquor license application for transfer of location and restaurant designation permit. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. This is a beverage dispensary, license 1912, doing business as The Crapery, owned by Bulgar Corp. at 523 Second Avenue, being transferred from Eastern Treats Owner is Bolgar Corp at 535 Second Avenue, Suite 106.
Motion to waive protest, counsel.
So moved.
By Mr. Peruse, second. By Ms. Otterston, thank you. Now's the time for the public to come up with any concerns or talking about anything with regards to this liquor license transfer. All right. Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. Oh, sorry, Frank. Go ahead, sir.
Well, he must have left.
No, he's here. I think he's just here for concerns that people might have. So.
Oh, okay. I don't have anything concerned about that. But if anybody that deserves a liquor license, it would be him. I think this guy here is one of the best things that ever happened to Fairbanks when it comes to running a business. And I think he could take care of any problems up there regarding alcohol. Just want to throw that at you.
Thank you, Mr. Turney. Any discussion, counsel? Ms. Rogers, you want to bring Yvonne up? Or
Could we request that he come and
sure. Speak Yvonne, about? You want to join us, please? A lot of people do like the crepery, sir.
Thank you.
Welcome. Ms. Rogers.
Well, I just wanted to hear from you personally about your plans. We hear things from others, but I'd rather hear more directly from you.
So. Well, what's going on is we purchased a new building, mm-hmm. bigger one, because that was long overdue. Anybody that's been there knows that we needed more space. Mm-hmm. And now the next logical step is to transfer it to the new location.
Pretty direct. Mr. Peruse?
Yes, now that we have you here under oath, I want to know the recipe of your stuffed chicken cheese.
Don't do it, Yvonne. Don't do it.
Please do it personally. There's too many people here.
Okay. we'll talk later. Okay.
Yeah. Any other discussion? Oh, Ms. Rogers.
Can I ask another question? We just had a work session tonight about the CSP in downtown. The circumstances of alcohol, how do you hope to address that?
Well, there was, not this summer, but the summer of 2017, there was an officer on duty every day, Officer Elsie, and that really, really helped. So I think that's something that city should think about, because the problematic people don't really have much respect to CSP as much as when they see an officer on duty. And everybody downtown could really feel the difference when we had Officer Elsie back then.
Thank you. That's very good feedback.
Thank you.
Ms. Kuhn?
Would you be willing to pay a fee for that service?
100%.
Thank you.
Anybody else, counsel? Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you for coming,
Thank
sir.
You.
Happy
Thank
holidays to you, sir. Any other discussion, counsel? Ms. Therrien?
Well, there's no activity at all, which is nice.
Nope.
No problems.
No problems. All right, clerk.
On the motion to waive protest on the transfer of liquor license 1912, Ms. Otterston?
Yes.
Mr. Cleaworth?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Peruse?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, counsel. Everyone's in a yes mood tonight. That's good. All right, clerk.
Moving on to mayor's comments and report.
Before I start my comments, I'm going to ask Amy Geiger to join us from Explore Fairbanks. She has an update from that organization. I don't see anybody here from the borough. Is that correct? Raise a hand if you're here from the borough. Want to give a borough update? All right, Amy, welcome.
Thank you. My name's Amy Geiger. I'm the Director of Communications of Explore Fairbanks, located at 101 Dunkel Street, Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm here to talk briefly about the 2019 Explore Fairbanks Official Visitor's Guide. The 78-page full-color guide is one of the cornerstones of our marketing efforts for Fairbanks in the region. 190,000 visitor's guides are produced and get distributed widely, as well as uploaded to our website. This year, the cover of the guide is a photograph from Amy Jack Johnson, a local photographer who captured the Aurora Borealis weaving across the sky above our Golden Heart City. The fact that the Aurora season actually spans 8 months of the year from August 21 through April 21 and lures people from all over the world is what has inspired us to begin using the dazzling natural phenomenon for the cover shot. The back of the book underwent significant changes this year, and the city of Fairbanks is central to those changes. So starting on page 65, we've kind of done a whole shout-out. We've called the section the Discover the Golden Heart vibe. And it includes an expanded map of the downtown, which you'll see on page 67. But in addition to that, it has extended narratives about the vibrant downtown and cuisine and libations and distilleries scene that's emerging downtown. It also talks about the public art, such as the painted pipes and mosaics, the permanent and seasonal sculptures and decorative elements that have been added recently, and also talks about popular events held in the city, and lastly also includes information about Fairbanks history and the River City theme. I hope you enjoy this new section that we've added, and I want to thank you all very much for reinvesting bed tax dollars for Explore Fairbanks to market this wonderful city. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Any questions, Council? Happy holidays, Amy.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, the last couple of meetings, I haven't had a whole lot to say during my mayor's comments, but I am going to indulge a little bit today. I've got a little bit of a list. First and foremost, a friend of mine passed away last week, and Terry Wally is his name. And I want to just briefly touch on the Wally family, if I could. The Wally family is about as historic a family as you could want in this town. And this is what I like to say. It goes all the way back to the 50s. My mom went on a date with Bill Wally. My mom was attending Lathrop, and they wanted a date. I won't elaborate on the date. Needless to say, it didn't last too long because I'm here today, and I'm not a Wally. I took Bill Wally's daughter to the prom at Lathrop, so that's a connection to Sherry, and we're still friends to this day. I worked with Carrie Wally, the one son, in the radio station. I served with Perry Wally here on the city council. And then Terry and I graduated together from Lathrop High School. And I don't know all the details. I don't need to know all the details. I just need to know that he is a good man. And I liked Terry a lot. And I was honored that the Wally family asked me to help out with the Remembrance of Life this Friday. They've asked me to kind of MC and help it along, for lack of a better term, which I'm happy to do. I'm honored to do. And I just want to reflect on him for a moment, because that's a really good family. And they've been around for a very long time. So Terry will be missed, and he was a really good man. So I just wanted to touch on that first and foremost tonight. Secondly, the big news last week. Not much happened last week, really. I mean, a little bit of a quake down in Anchorage, nothing big. I saw a post today that covered a whole bunch of major quakes. I'm sure many of you saw this blow up on social media, and it showed the number of fatalities with all these major quakes, and not one, to my understanding. I don't know if that's still the case. That's a lot to be said for Anchorage and some of the changes that were made to that city and building codes. And because, you know, we get a lot more quakes than California. We just don't make the news as much because there's about a million people living at the epicenter. But we shake a lot in this state. And that was it. I don't know about you, but my whole house just waved. And we're 400 miles away. Imagine what it was like down there. And I know some of our chief of staff's daughter lives down there in Eagle River. That's where a lot of the epicenter was, and you've seen the videos. And what I love about this state is the way people do come together when these events happen. They actually come together. There's going to be some asphalt going down and some repairs on the roads, and it's amazing how I called the mayor down there, and we had a nice visit, and he was amazed at all the helping that was going on. And I just think that speaks volumes for Alaskans, and even some of the Fairbanks businesses helped out. I know that we sent some fuel down there, is my understanding, to help out Anchorage. So I just have to say I'm really impressed with how Anchorage has handled this. It's been pretty gracious. Been a lot of good stories coming out of that town. And so I continue to keep them in prayer. Ordinance 6093, I agree with everything that was said here tonight. I know tonight's not so much a vote. Just for folks that are here tonight, it's going to be advanced. Next week would be the actual vote, if it's voted to be advanced tonight, which I don't anticipate any issues. But next week would be the vote for that. But I certainly appreciate everyone coming down to speak. You have to speak. It does make a difference. We do hear. And sometimes we have to expand our thinking. And if we don't live in a certain world or a certain group of people, we kind of lose track. You know, here we get a little bit of tunnel vision on one or two things. It's good to be expanded, so I appreciate that because this is a terrific town. It's a great town, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Congratulations to our new governor. He couldn't land in Norvik, so they took him over to Kotzebue, and he got sworn in today, which was kind of interesting. His wife comes from the village in Norvik, and they couldn't land. So they whisked him over to Kotzebue, and they did an impromptu. Frank, you're kind of going nuts. You want to talk?
No, I just said January 16th will be open to the public for the call here.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Yeah, there's a party kind of in the major cities, and January 16th is here in Fairbanks, so I want to congratulate Mayor Dunn leaving. If he were here today, I'd look up to him and welcome him to being the governor of our state. And then finally, the CSP. We had an excellent, excellent meeting about CSP. For those of you who don't know, it's our Community Service Patrol. When folks are under the influence and they can't walk or they're stumbling, we go pick them up in the van. You've seen the van going around, and over the years we've expanded out to the city limits, and now we're talking about funding. Everything is funding, of course, so we're talking about it. And one of the things I had a meeting with Chief Jukes about was the police presence downtown again. I know for a fact that is a deterrent, and when you have a cop that knows the downtown like Officer Elsie did, can communicate with the downtown business, it does make a big difference. So he's going to do that. That's been a priority of mine. It's, as you know, the police department's had a little bit of downsize, and they've had a bit of a struggle with all the different things they're doing. But I think that's one of the best investments we can make in downtown is have a police presence down there. And then I've got a couple other ideas of what we can do downtown for next summer. So Chief Jukes and I are on the same page on that. I just want to make that clear. I don't think Yvonne is here. I think he may have left. Yeah, but I was going to let him know that that's definitely on the radar is to do that. And as far as CSP, we do need to fund that. It's a really important part. It takes a lot of the pressure off the police department. I want to thank Stephanie for all of her efforts. She's going to be leaving us soon, and we'll have a proper goodbye here in the upcoming days. But she's been just an absolute, you know, saint when it comes to that CSP program. And it's really done wonders for our community, and it's really made an impact, I think. So other than that, I guess that's all I have tonight. Thank you so much, Council, and thanks to the public for coming to speak. Clerk?
Then we are at the first round of council member comments.
All right, we're at the first round of council members' comments. This is the one that addresses any questions. We didn't have a lot of that, but I can still check and see if you have any comments now. If not, we'll have another opportunity. Ms. Otterston?
I'm going to skip.
All right, Mr. Cleworth.
Just to add to what you said about the Wally family, Bill Wally was our mayor.
Yeah.
You didn't mention that.
Did I leave that out? I'm sorry. He was a mayor for Fairbanks. I apologize.
He's also a council member.
And radio guy.
And unfortunately, as a council member, he passed away at that time, but... he was great to work with. Great individual. So, that's it.
He was pretty funny. Mr. Pruz?
No comments at this time.
Ms. Farian?
No comments.
Ms. Rogers?
No other comments, but I would like to also send my thoughts to the Wally family. I have so many memories of various ones, and especially of Bill Wally and all of the community projects that he involved himself in, and that we can still hear him on the radio singing "I'm a Goose Watcher," you know, which he...
They still use that.
Yes, they do.
That song, Wee Willie Wally. Yes, ma'am.
Maybe I'll just trip over it.
Thank you, Ms. Roger. And Ms. Kuhn.
Yeah, actually, I want to make a comment on 1693. I want to thank Council Member Otterston and Council Member Pruz. You did a great job. I have some questions, but I have wholehearted support, especially after the summer and as I campaigned. I received a message via Messenger, Facebook Messenger, and it was a reminder that there is still very live anti-Semitism in our community. And it was of the sort that Jews have no business running for office. And it was very hurtful. So for me, seeing this, is a beautiful thing, and having experienced anti-Semitism in Fairbanks and in other communities throughout the United States, I believe that everybody has the right to keep employment, to feel safe where they are living. And I have come across anti-Semitism on the job, but it was not in the city. And that was a very painful fight. So that's my comment, and I would like to co-sponsor this bill also.
Thank you, Ms. Kuhn. All right, clerk.
Okay, then we are at unfinished business, ordinance number 6084, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code, Chapter 74, Article 4, Hotel-Motel Tax Increase, tax to increase the tax rate and the city's percentage, introduced by Mayor Matherly, second reading and public hearing.
All right. Move to approve, Council.
I would like to move to table this ordinance so we can have a work session with the tourism industry and come to amicable solutions.
Okay, so we moved to table. Council, any other?
Second.
All right, it's been moved by Ms. Kuhn, seconded by Ms. Therrien. Discussion, Council?
What time period is tabling it?
Clerk?
Just out of curiosity.
That was my question. A motion to table really, it only sends the ordinance to the next regular meeting, at which time the council would have to pull it back off the table in order to consider. If you're looking to postpone it to a certain time, the proper motion would be to postpone to a certain time. But we do first need a motion to adopt, and then we can work from there.
Okay. So does she withdraw at this point?
Actually, I'm so sorry. No, that's actually, you're actually correct. You may make that motion right now. The motion, though, if you would like to postpone it to a certain date, would be to postpone. If you'd like to kill it, that would be postpone indefinitely. So there's different routes here.
Would you like to change your motion?
So I would like to change my motion to postpone this ordinance for a 60 to 90 day period of time so we can sit down and have a conversation.
Would you need to know 60 or 90?
One
of the two?
We need to know one or the other.
We need to know a certain date.
Choose
one or the other.
Okay, well, I will move to postpone for 90 days.
I'll right. Second that.
Does the second agree? All right.
Yeah.
Councilors, any discussion on that? It's been moved and seconded to actually postpone until for 90 days. Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, just a question for the maker of the motion. What is the intent of the postponement to work with the industry? Industry is not in favor of this. I don't know what's going to change in 90 days, 60 days, or whatever. So I guess I need to know more information.
Sure. It is my impression that the industry that's going to get taxed has not had a chance, besides the work session we experienced, in which the focus was not to discuss a increase in bed tax. So I feel as we as a council, I see a lot of red shirts, and I'm wondering if they would like to have this work session, and I would like to give them 90 days to come to the table with an amicable solution, as they are not in support of this current ordinance. So as a city, I feel we need to give and take, and that this is an opportunity for everyone to come to the table, have this discussion, and move from there, whichever way it needs to move, if that helps.
I don't mind doing that. I'm just saying that, you know, I've heard from the industry for many years, and they're not going to be in favor of raising this no matter what the situation is, because they have strong opinions about it. But I'm just wondering if we're kicking the can down the road and we should deal with it tonight.
And I've had some different discussions.
With the industry?
Yes, sir.
Well, my name's on it, so I might as well just talk a little bit about it. I do understand fully the industry's opposition. I get that. You're just delaying for 90 days. I don't think it's necessary. I mean, we've heard this many, many years now on the council, and we're going to pass a budget tonight. Hopefully, we'll pass the budget tonight. We'll advance it. And you guys already know my thoughts on shifting around capital. It's just I don't want to fund a city with just shifting around capital. It's a one-time shot, and we always talk about ongoing, you know, income. We know we got a bigger footprint of work now. You know, our jobs are increasing as far as police and fire. So I say for let's just take the vote tonight. I think we're all up on this enough that we don't need to postpone it again. I would encourage the council not to postpone. Let's just vote it up or down tonight. I can deal with that. It's just that we've heard from them, and I, with all due respect to the industry, I know many of them are here. I know what their attitude is toward this. I totally get that. I had a couple of meetings with two hoteliers that encouraged me not to do the 4% route. It was never my intention to go as high as 4. I just wanted to get the conversation going. I put it out there for an increase in the property tax, as you're aware, and that was shot down by the some people didn't want me to do that, but I did, and it was voted down. This is an opportunity to give us a much-needed improvement, because the only thing I can do for the industry, they bring a lot of people here. There's no doubt about it. They do such good work promoting Fairbanks. I feel our city's obligation is to make it a safe, clean city. And that means safe with the police department and clean by picking up the trash and improving the downtown. I think that's part of our job. I don't think we can wait 90 days given all we've done is the capital shift. I think we need to vote this income up or down tonight. So I would encourage the council not to postpone again, because I already know they're not going to be for this increase, in my opinion. It's only 1.5, or you can amend it tonight if you want, but I don't think we should postpone. That's just my thought, so you could certainly vote me down on that. I just wanted to give my opinion. Thank you. Ms.
Rogers. As long as we're offering opinions, my thoughts are that whether we vote on this tonight or whether we vote on it in 90 days, I cannot vote for this.
Yep. Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Anybody else, counsel? Ms. Therrien?
Well, I spoke with the industry, and they were encouraging us to get together with a work session, because we don't know what our budget's going to be look like until next week when we pass it, and what our needs are going to be. And they were interested in looking at our needs and seeing what we can do. Okay. That's why I think we should postpone.
All right. Any other discussion, Council? Ms. Otterston.
I would just say that if we do decide to postpone it, I would rather that we postpone it for a longer period. I'd rather we postpone it till mid-year, when we have a really good idea of where our budget is next year. I know you don't like that, Mr. Mayor.
I didn't say anything.
I saw your face.
I haven't said a word.
But if we are going to go ahead with postponing it, I don't think that in February we will have a really good idea as to how our finances are. I'd rather see we at least wait till winter is done. We know what we've had to deal with emergency situations with snow and other services. And if this is going to be on the table, let's make it a double function of understanding where we're at.
So let's ask the maker of the motion if that's what she wants to do. I'm sure you will, so just go ahead and do it.
I could be okay with that, and I look towards the back. I don't have any nods, but...
So tell me the date. You said
first
summer.
Council meeting in June.
All right, first council meeting in June. So does the motion want to do that?
I can accept to postpone it to June 1st to make a valid assessment.
All right, does the second agree?
That's fine.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to the first meeting in June. You're ready to vote? So we will not take public hearing tonight if this is the case. It'll be postponed, so just to make it clear. All right, clerk, vote.
On the motion to postpone ordinance number 6084 to the regular first meeting in June of 2019. Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ms. Otterston?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Perus?
No.
Mr. Cleaworth?
No.
Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Council, for that. Clerk?
All right, then we are at pulled item under new business. That's item 12F, Ordinance 6093, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Chapter 1 by enacting Sections 1-21 through 1-28, addressing equal rights, introduced by Council Members Otterston, Perus, and now Ms. Kuhn also.
Motion to advance, Council, by Ms. Therrien, and second by Ms. Kuhn. So there's no public comment. So, Ms. Otterston, you had it pulled. You want to speak to it before we vote?
I just want to speak to some of the purpose behind utilizing this particular language. Oh, I'll let the room settle.
While you're waiting, can I co-sponsor?
I would love that.
You're talking
I was going to ask for everyone who wants to.
You're talking
6393.
Yes. Gary, you're a co-sponsor too. You're the only one who's not so far.
I have a couple questions first.
Okay.
So.
Okay. This ordinance tracks Juneau's ordinance quite closely. And one of the advantages I saw in that ordinance is the idea that we are 400 miles from Anchorage. We are likely a six-hour car ride. And Anchorage is where Alaska enforces their ordinance, you know, their entire scheme for the state equal rights amendment. Regardless of who it includes, anybody has to deal with a body that isn't here in Fairbanks that in and of itself creates difficulties through that mechanism. It also means that you still have to go through an entire set of operations that are either done virtually, that are done through a series of letters, and that's a time issue for people as well. And with the ordinance as it's written with the state, it's 180 days. And by the time somebody may know what's going on, somebody who's been discriminated against is going to be emotionally dealing with that in addition to any legal question. People will be occupied potentially with finding a new job, new housing. This ordinance gives a full year minus a day to deal with the issues that you may have. And it allows people to do this on their own, locally, in a way that can work around their schedules and thus enlarges the right to people who do not have the economic wherewithal. One of the big issues that I always see with non-discrimination ordinances in general is the mechanism. Is somebody who is financially strapped, is somebody who is emotionally not able to leave their community for whatever reason. There are people who are stuck places, and oftentimes those are the people who are most fragile and most discriminated against. And I think this addresses this better than the state's ordinance does, and that's why I asked that this language be utilized when I spoke to Mr. Pruse. So thank you all.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes, thank you also. I teach real estate law, which means federal fair housing. So we use that as a basis for a lot of this. We did make two changes, though. And what we included under sex, we also put in gender identity and gender expression. The original fair housing law was written in 1968. And we looked at that and said, okay, there is no difference, but let's express our thought on this. So we did that. We also took a look at the federal versus the state laws, and we thought that we had to have a standard. And the better standard we saw in many things was the federal side. So we would always defer to the federal law. It's more systematic. We should have next week for you the different ones in from Juneau, Anchorage, and Sitka. So you can compare what we put in versus what they have. And we just looked at this, and it's about time. So if we do it, let's do it right. Mm-hmm. And I was going to offer everyone here, including Jerry, after his questions, if he wants to be a co-sponsor on this. I think it's very important and very relevant. And there we are.
Thank you, Mr. Pruse. Mr. Cleaworth, did you have some questions, sir?
Yeah, I didn't spend a lot of time studying this because I thought we were going to be talking about hotel-motel taxes and things like that, labor contracts, and this is up for advancement. And it's long. I did scan it a little bit, but I guess my questions were more for the city attorney. I'm looking at page 4 under the religious part of this. And there was that huge court case that went to the Supreme Court out of Colorado. I think that was that cake thing. Is that right? Anyway, I'm not sure how, but with the current court cases, does this thing comply with all the court cases that we have had in some of these areas?
The question that's going to take a little more, the specific cake case, and I'm trying to think of the name of that.
I'm not even sure that would apply, but it was a.
I'm not sure that would apply, and I think actually that probably the lawful practices actually covers that this section.
I'm also, as an attorney, I can speak to that. And
yeah,
the case thing was against a state body that was empowered by the state to adjudicate, which was one of the key issues there, was how did the state body, the way that was decided was because the state body had expressed certain things ahead of time and had thereby made themselves biased, we'll say it that way, that there were ex parte statements by certain members of that body. Since we're not impaneling a body, we are putting it into what I believe is probably the most impartial system we have, which would be somebody being allowed to go into a court system. And we also, in addition, have limited remedies within this. They're very specific. And I do find that a good situation where we can walk in to this, not putting the city in the position to be the arbiter of this.
That is correct. That was a case with the cake maker against the State Human Rights Commission, and the basically a government ruling as to the issue about the cake and not making the cake. That wouldn't come up under this ordinance.
Okay, another scenario. You have a religious group that whether it be Judaic when they follow the Torah, or a Muslim that follows the Quran, or a Christian group of some sort that have strong opinions about what employees can and cannot do. Let me give you an example. Say same-sex marriage, or if they don't allow that in a church or something, or they're not going to hire a rabbi or a preacher or something that would be violating what they think are fundamental beliefs of that denomination. Are they protected or not?
And I think that the lawful practices you can't. This doesn't allow an individual to file an action against them. And like I said, the city's making no determinations of this. I mean, this is going to be adjudicated in the court, not in the city, not in any city body. And it says basically that those organizations that have specific religious requirements for their hiring, and you know, like a church, that doesn't require them to comply. And so that's done under the lawful practices covers that.
If I can interject.
Let me make sure that Jerry was finished. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I'm just looking for clarification.
Okay.
So I've got another one, too.
All right, Mr. Pruse.
Actually, we're probably going to be giving you a substitute ordinance on this that deals with an issue that Jerry brought up. In Federal Fair Housing, a religious-based organization does not have to allow anyone in the housing that is not of their religion. They cannot discriminate based on sex, creed, color, gender identity, anything like that. But that person must be of their religion for their housing. So there are protections for religious organizations and things like that. So we talked about that, and we thought that let's get this as much as done as we can. Then we're going to get back together Tuesday or Wednesday with the city attorney and bring those things in. But we wanted to have this on for tonight's register for everyone to look at.
Yeah, I just think it's important to protect. I mean, like you're a synagogue or something. If they're hiring an employee, they may want that employee to be of the faith. And they should have that right to do that. I mean, you don't want to hire somebody that's going, I think this is the stupidest thing in the world. But, you don't want that to happen. The other question I had, and I didn't know it would come up, would be, it is fascinating to me to see this Harvard lawsuit that's going on now with Asian Americans. And universities have tackled that situation so differently. Some want an exact representation of society. Others are just going for the most qualified people. But I'm thinking inside businesses. Businesses probably would take different approaches to that also, I would think. Is there anything here that would, if their policy is we're just going to hire the best person that comes through that door, is there anything that would inhibit them from doing that? Okay.
Again, under what we've done here is we follow the federal side. And they take the small business and they exclude them with the 15 people. Now, whenever I hire anyone in my office, I interview them for 3 days. Not that I'm looking for discrimination things. I interview them to make sure that they're going to be a good fit in my small office. And in retrospect, that's what the federal law allows. Will you be a good fit in a small, family-owned type business? That's why we defaulted to the federal side of 15 people versus the state. The state has one employee, all compliance. The federal side has 15 employees, after that, all compliance. So that's why we went that direction. We went one standard, we defaulted to the federal side.
Okay. Ms. Otterston?
I just want to return to your previous question, Jerry. The nice thing about taking it into court is the court has to comply with federal law. And one of the things that I object to when I see bodies that are devoted to this oftentimes where they have the final say is they have a terrible time with precedent. And so you tend to see these secondary lawsuits. No matter what we do here, we are superseded by federal law. And the only thing that we can do is provide greater protection, but not lesser. But the federal law will trump us when it comes to employment or fair housing or any of these other issues. And so ultimately, by taking this into a court remedy, that I think is where that division will be best applied if that is an issue for somebody. And if it's not a suit that can come, it won't, very simply.
So do you envision if we pass this and it becomes codified, if somebody feels that somebody is violating this, then the proper legal recourse would be through not the city of Fairbanks, but to go out and hire an attorney or go through the court system or whatever. So the city would not be, this is city code now.
Right.
In our discussions with the city attorney, we profoundly said the city will not be involved in the lawsuit. This goes between the plaintiff and the person they're against to court. They're not bringing in the city as an arbitrator or as a litigant on this.
Can we get off that easy?
That's what this ordinance does.
Okay.
It provides for a private right of action, saying the individual has a private right of action in the courts. But it didn't provide, Anchorage and Juneau have ordinances that provide for kind of a mini human rights commission, and that's not provided in this ordinance.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. Thank you for the work that's gone into it and all that. I'm just trying to think of scenarios that if we can think about them ahead of time that we can stop potential litigation or something. So I just briefly went over it, and if there's an amended version coming, then I would like to see that too, sooner than the better. But
that will deal with the fair housing and religion.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ms. Rogers?
I understood you to mean that you had already considered some of those suggestions that were sent to us by email and perhaps given by testimony tonight, and that those...
But I've written down a couple of them, too.
If those are worked through between now and the next... Yeah. That's what I understood, was that you were already on top of that. We had some good suggestions that were given to us. Yes. Okay, I don't recall. I think there were maybe, I have to look back through my scribbly notes here, if someone actually made a suggestion tonight that was not in the email, because the emails were pretty explicit. And so, okay.
Right.
I'd love to co-sponsor.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes, Kathy, I was just wondering, you've got only 365 days to file a lawsuit. Most statute of limitations are 2 years. Or is there a reason why you limited it?
Basically, because it's now it would be the longest in the state at 1 year. Juneau is 300 days. The state is 180. So, and I just felt that, but I would not be opposed if we wanted to make it longer, but most of the time with a situation like this, it's freshness matters. And as it goes along, you put a greater cost on a business owner or whatever in terms of remembering what happened, going through that, and this allows for a interplay.
Okay.
What I don't want to have is a situation where we have a disagreement that becomes a killer on a small business. That is very important to me.
Okay.
All right. Well, we have a motion to advance at this point. Are we ready to vote?
Yeah.
And they'll bring back a more revised one. So is everyone's name on this thing? Is that my understanding?
We're going to wait. I want to see the amended one, though, before I sign on it.
Yeah, you could put my name, too, on there, clerk. And we'll see how it all shakes out next week, if there's any changes to it. Okay, so let's take the vote to advance.
Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Ms. Otterston?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
Mr. Cleaver?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Thank you, counsel. Clerk?
All right, then we are at committee reports.
Have any committees met since our last meeting? Mrs. Rogers?
We've had a meeting of the bed tax committee. I'm trying to, it seemed like there was so many different letters that had gone back and forth on this. And we're preparing for our meeting tomorrow night, where we'll be receiving testimony from the groups. And also then the following Thursday at noon, we'll be having the distribution meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers.
Also, I attended the Housing and Homeless Coalition meeting the other day, and the opioid workforce meeting. At the opioid meeting, it was interesting because we had someone presenting from the Prisoner Reentry Program who was from Anchorage. She's a wonderful, experienced person working with all of the difficulties that we're trying to work with here in Fairbanks. And if you go to that site at the Opioid Task Force meeting, Becca Bredo has made that available. You can see the whole dialogue that this person brought. She's a person that we need to know and work with her more closely, I think. With the Housing and Homeless Coalition, it's overwhelmingly supported. We had so many people that tonight's room of people here was less than what we had at that meeting, right? So I think we have some really good progress that's been one of those tipping points that we're at, and it's a really good opportunity to have a whole host of new alliances. There are groups that are surprising themselves at how well they are finding opportunities to work together. So really, really good results. And we need to thank Mike every time, Mike Sanders, every time that we have a meeting. His work is wonderful.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Any other committees met? All right, thank you. Clerk?
Then we are at council members' comments.
Council members' comments. I'll start with Ms. Kuhn, please.
All right. Well, I want to say condolences going out to the Wally family. I know he was a pillar of Fairbanks community. Also, I want to say thank you to all the different organizations that came together for the tree lighting here and also for the tree lighting in Anchorage. Despite
despite the quake, they were able to continue on and do their tree lighting ceremony down there, and it's pretty extensive, which brings me to happy holidays to everyone. But as we are going into, and well, we are here on the second night of Hanukkah, I do want to wish happy Hanukkah to everyone out there that celebrates it. And the reminder that Hanukkah is a miracle of lights. It's a rebuild. And as Anchorage is rebuilding, I hold hope and send those healing hope thoughts out to Anchorage and out to families of communities that are related to people in Anchorage, Eagle River, Peters Creek, and all the areas affected, and up to Valdez was affected as well. So with that, I look forward to seeing everyone next week, and we'll figure out what holidays there are, but I feel like I had something else, but I'll just stop. So happy Hanukkah, everyone.
Hey, Ms. Rogers?
Well, I wanted to thank everyone who is being helpful to those in Anchorage that are going through all of the trials and tribulation. I know, David, I heard you on your program about your brother down there, and you had a bird's eye view of interviewing someone on your program right away. That was very helpful. My family lived right in, you know, where Spinard Builders is and International Minnesota Boulevard. They live in that subdivision that has the names of all the universities just right up off of Tudor there. And the road kind of opened up all the way around them, but not anywhere near their home, no broken pipes or anything like that. And with my mother being as aged as she is, she's 93 now, I'm very concerned about her being in those kinds of situations. But everything is fine, and people are all rallying together. And it's a test of everybody's mettle, it really is. And it's also something that Mayor mentioned just a little bit ago about it's a testament to those regulations that have been put into force after 1964, where some of these buildings, I think in your interview you were talking with someone who said that they had been up in a building quite high, but it was safe.
Yeah,
they were safe. And so when we're working on creating regulations that have to do with public safety, this is a good example of why we do those things, why they're necessary, and why we need to have so many meetings and talk to as many people as we can in order to find the very best safety measures available, and then to get education out there that's really what we need to do in order to make sure that when these tragic circumstances occur, that we're prepared and we're better prepared. And it's incredible that such a devastating activity took place down there and no one was majorly injured. It's a special, were you talking about? It's a special this time of the year gift to everyone that we can see the results of everyone still being okay down there. Yes, it's difficult to have to go through the cleanup and the fix-up and all that sort of thing, but the fact that everyone is there and available to help each other, we have a lot to be grateful for. And I think this is going to be my first opportunity at our work session tonight. David Vandenberg used the term over and over and over and over about the people who are contributing to the CPS patrols, that they are the people who are willing in order to help that go forward, and that it's not an easy fundraise, and that $110,000 he mentioned to us that is coming through that organization in order to help with the downtown foot patrols. But over and over he kept using that term, the willing, and I think we need to get the word out, and right now I know there are a whole lot of people who are listening. We need to get the word out that we all need to be more willing to help find solutions for difficulties in our community. Not wait until there's an earthquake. Not wait until there's a tragic circumstance in our community, but to be willing to try and put measures in place
whether it be through funding or whether it be through volunteering or whatever, in order to make certain that we're all going forward in the very best way possible. Thank you.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes, I want to apologize for missing the work session today. I just couldn't be, I couldn't make it. I read the memo from Jeff Jacobson about the public works employee sharp exposure, and I'd like to ask the attorney to see if he could introduce an ordinance that doubles the fine when it's the same residence and triples the fine if it's their third time. Because I think that there's multiple places in here. One of them has five. And I think a $200 fine isn't making this issue go away. So if you could increase those fines. And my wish is to Josh that he's okay. This just goes to show why we need an increase in money to our public works people. And my condolences go out to the Wally family as well. And I think that Anchorage did a great job of holding it together during the earthquake, and my best wishes to them as well.
Thank you. Mr. Bruce?
Thank you. I miss Victor. Victor wasn't here tonight. I'm not used to that. You get comfortable with things. And I hope he's okay. I hope everything's fine
birthday.
With him.
It's his birthday. We should all say happy birthday to
Victor. I hope he's having a wonderful time. Good. We had a memorandum from the mayor. The first part of it is, I would like to acknowledge Mike Desmond, who was the head of the plumber examiners for the city of Fairbanks for a number of years. Mike is a Fairbanks and he owns Western Mechanical. His dad founded Western Mechanical in 1950. And just an exceptional, wonderful person. And, you know, he's on this for a decade, if not two, and just a wonderful person. Also, surprised me, then I will acknowledge that the mayor's replacement is Jason Rowe, who is a plumber and is also a licensed realtor with me. So I said, oh, okay. And he has a lot of shoes to fill there. And we'll see how that goes. But, Mayor, I think you made a very good appointment, and I would like to commend Mr. Desmond for the years of work that he has in there. Also, when it comes to our ordinance 6093, we were treading in an area that's not easy when you're looking at both social and employment with the city of Fairbanks. And I think that we were very, very thorough on how we approached it and how we went to it. And I want to thank Catherine and the city attorney for the wonderful work that they did in regards to it. And it was just very nice working with them in such a professional capacity. Thank you.
Mr. Cleaworth.
Just a question for the clerk. We're on schedule for the Bill of Rights at the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't want to forget that. That's it for me tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Otterston.
A couple different things. First of all, I am grateful for how well Anchorage rode out the earthquake and the aftershocks afterwards. But it is notable that that was also powerful enough to be felt here. Our situation, it reminds us of just some of our vulnerabilities, and I hope people keep that in mind as a reminder to have your prep kit ready, to be having extra stores. One of the things I saw that the mayor of Anchorage said in an interview was that it's much easier because of Alaskans' habit of storing lots of extra food and stuff for the winter. But it is notable that it is a point where we can remind ourselves. Secondly, regarding the letter that we received regarding the Sharps issue with trash, when I was on the trash truck, the driver I was with was pointing out particular homes and apartment buildings where they had Sharps in the previous years and issues. But one of the things he and I also spoke about was this issue of glass, of things that are just inherently dangerous when you go to pick up the bag that will injure you otherwise. Also, some of the weight. Some of the places that we picked up trash at were appalling. And I'm very certain are outside code. And the laborers and the people who take up some of the operators when needed who go out on the trash runs face that. And we are not enforcing that code. And it's not just a fine for sharps. There are different ways that people put out just essentially they dump it. And the workers face that. And I don't know what the solution is in terms of us enforcing those laws. But I would like to see what that is. I would also like to ask Jeff back there if your guys have any solutions or suggestions for better protective equipment. Now, I'm not asking you to do it right now if you don't feel it, but if they do have those, would you gather those up? Those need to be a priority. And I don't think they're going to be a budget buster to be able to sit and say, you know, we're not going to put you at risk like this. I know we do have the gloves that are rubberized.
We have implemented increased personal protection equipment, PPEs. It's a matter of practicality. The more protection you get, the less flexibility of the gloves. So it's a trade-off as far as what level of protection or resistance you're able to withstand to make your job really doable. And so that's the balancing act that every employee makes. But we give them the whole range of equipment to choose from. And we give them, it's their choice what to wear.
Okay, is there anything that they think is missing or that other cities utilize that we do not?
Not to my knowledge. I think we've been very proactive in the last year and a half on this matter.
Okay, thank you.
All right, clerk.
Okay, we are at the city clerk report. I just wanted to remind the council there's no finance committee meeting this morning, and for those listening, does the city attorney have anything to report?
Just a quick correction. While the earth might have moved in Anchorage during the quake, it was mentioned it was 400 miles away. It's actually 250 to 260 as the raven flies. It didn't get a lot further away because of the quake. And so just so our Anchorage listeners know, we realize how far they are away. That's it.
All right. Then we are at executive session to discuss PSEA labor negotiations and Roberts versus City of Fairbanks AML-JIA coverage appeal.
I have a motion to go into executive session, Council.
So moved.
By Mr. Peruse, second. Ms. Otterson. Let's start at 10 minutes past 8, folks. Give 10 minutes, and we'll be back.
The Fairbanks City Council met in executive session during the regular meeting of December 3rd, 2018, to discuss the PSEA labor negotiations and the Roberts versus City of Fairbanks Alaska Municipal League Joint Insurance Association coverage appeal. Reports given, discussion ensued, questions asked and answered, directions given. No further action taken.
Motion to move to adjourn, Council.
So move to adjourn.
Seconded by Ms. Kuhn and seconded by Ms. Therrien. All right, we adjourn. Thank you, Council.
This concludes the podcast of the City of Fairbanks City Council meeting. Please visit us at www.fairbanksalaska.us.